Hare Krishna. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Namadatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktabinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we begin tonight with the recitation of the Shriyash Upanishad. And by regularly reciting the Shriyash Upanishad, we'll come to know all the verses. There are 19 altogether, including the invocation. And the verses are under the bubblegum colored tab near the back. So we'll chant all the Sanskrit together, and then we'll come back and do the English together as well. Om Purnamadak Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bunjita Magradakasya Swiddhanam Kurvani Veha Karmani Jijivishekshatam Samaha Evam Twai Nanyatetosti Nakarma Lipite Nare Asuryanamate Loka Antena Tamasavritaha Tamste Pratyabhigachanti Yekecha Mahanojanaha Ane jadikam manaso javiyo naina deva nuvon purvanarshat tadavato nyanat te titishtat tashmina poma tadishva dadati tadejati tannaijati tadure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya syabhayataha Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanupashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatona vijugupsate yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vadbud vijanataha tatrako mahakashoka hekatvam manupashyataha saparya jakshukram makayam avranam asnaviram shudham apapavidham Kavir Manishi Paryabhu Swayambhur Yathat Yathatortan Vyaradashasvatibhya Samabhyaha Antam Tama Pravishanti Ye Vidyam Upasate Tato Bhuya Ivate Tamo Ya Uvidyayam Brataha Anyadeva Hur Vidyaya Anyadahur Avidyaya Iti shushu madhiranam yenastad vichichakshire vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tadvedo bayam saha avidyaya mrittum tirtva vidyaya mrittum ashnute andam tama pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate tato bhuya ivate tamo ya usambhutyam rataha Anyadevahu sambhavad, anyadahura sambhavad, iti shushu bhidhiranam, yenastad vichichakshide, sambhutim cha vinasham cha, yastad vedo bayam saha, vinashenam rittum tirtva, sambhutam rittum ashnute, hiranmayena patrena satyasa pihitam mukam, Tattvam Pushan Apavrenu Satyadharmaya Drishtaye Pushan Nikarshe Yama Surya Prajapatya Vyuharasmin Samuha Tejo Yate Rupam Kalyanatamam Tate Pushami Yosavasau Purushaso Masmi Vayur Anilamamratam Atetam Bashmantam Shariram Om Krato Smara Kritam Smara Kratosmara kritam smara Agnenaya supatarayasman Vishvani deva vayunani vidvan Yuyodyasmaschuharanamino Duishtam te nama uktim bidema Sri Shapanishad Sampurnam Hari Om. And now let's read the translations all together. To make it, if you want to make it easier also, it's in this blue book under this bubblegum colored tab. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in that way, for that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain, he surpasses all in excellence. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. He who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything nor any being. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Such a person must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. Those who engage in the culture of nescient activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nescience. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. Those who are engaged in the worship of demigods enter into the darkest region of ignorance, and still more so do the worshippers of the impersonal absolute. It is said that one result is obtained by worshiping the supreme cause of all causes, and then another result is obtained by worshiping what is not supreme. All this is heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained it. One should know perfectly the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and the pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with its temporary demigods, men, and animals. When one knows these, he surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. O my Lord, the sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. O my Lord, O primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, O regulating principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as am I. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you, And since you know all I've done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so there will be no hindrance to my progress. And tonight we'll hear from the invocation on page number 13. Om Purnam Madak Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om. The complete whole. Purnam, perfectly complete. Adaha, that. Purnam, perfectly complete. Idam, this phenomenal world. Purnat, from the all perfect. Purnam, complete unit. Udachyate is produced. Purnasya, of the complete whole. Purnam, completely all. Adaya, having been taken away. Purnam, the complete balance. Eva, even. Avashishyate is remaining. Translation. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced as complete wholes, also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Purport. The complete whole, or the supreme absolute truth, is the complete personality of Godhead. Realization of impersonal Brahman, or of Paramatma, the Supersoul, is incomplete realization of the absolute complete. The supreme personality of Godhead is Sat-Chit-Ananda-Vigraha. The realization of impersonal Brahman is realization of his Sat feature, or his aspect of eternity, and Paramatma realization is realization of his Sat and Chit features, his aspects of eternity and knowledge. But realization of the personality of Godhead is realization of all the transcendental features, Sat, Chit, and Ananda, bliss. When one realizes the Supreme Person, he realizes these aspects of the Absolute Truth in their completeness. Vigraha means form. Thus the complete whole is not formless. If he were formless, or if he were less than his creation in any other way, he could not be complete. The complete whole must contain everything both within and with and beyond our experience. Otherwise, he cannot be complete. The complete whole, the personality of Godhead, has immense potencies, all of which are complete as his, as he is. Thus, this phenomenal world is also complete in itself. The 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation are arranged to produce everything necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. No other unit in the universe need make an extraneous effort to try to maintain the universe. The universe functions on its own time scale, which is fixed by the energy of the complete whole. And when that schedule is complete, this temporary manifestation will be annihilated by the complete arrangement of the complete whole. All facilities are given to the small complete units, namely the living beings, to enable them to realize the complete whole. All forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. The human form of life is a complete manifestation of the consciousness of the living being, and it is obtained after evolving through 8,400,000 species of life in the cycle of birth and death. If in this human life of full consciousness the living entity does not realize his completeness in realization to complete whole, he loses the chance to realize his completeness and is again put into the evolutionary cycle by the law of material nature. Because we do not know that there is a complete arrangement in nature for our maintenance, we make efforts to utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment, like what? Because we do not know there's a complete arrangement in nature for our maintenance, we make efforts to utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment. Any examples?
Like working very, very hard so that you know, he can have enough money for his family maintenance, eating, sleeping, and security of his family members, everything.
Okay. In general, working very, very hard to have some kind of maintenance for family and such. What else? I mean, based on the fact that we don't know there's a complete arrangement in nature for our maintenance, what efforts to utilize resources to we create utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment. Hare Krishna. Yes.
We just make unnecessary efforts to gain more than even we need.
Like
for
what?
The future.
Can I have
maybe
an
like
example?
Save money for the future.
I see.
And maybe buy a lot of bhoga for the future. Acharya Chandra's grandma used to buy a lot of bhoga, like to save it, because she lived during Second World War, so she knew hunger, so she would do, just store it, and then we just throw it away.
Yes.
And if I'm not, you know, I'm glad to share the story. But I read somewhere. I'm almost sure that I read one of our book. There is a, in India, in the beach, there is a guy selling the peanuts. And, you know, he makes some peanuts, fry them and pack them, come to the beach and sell it to everybody. And then, you know, before... He really quick sell it, and then rest of the time he just play in the sand and feeding the birds and just watching the nature. And so a couple of guys with the MBA, they came, they saw this peanut guy selling the peanuts, and then after a couple of hours he's just lazy, he's not doing anything. So they call him, a peanut guy, come here, let me talk to you. And he said, how many, you sell peanuts, right? Yes. How come you're not selling? He said, I sold out. Well, tomorrow you make more peanuts and sell more. And he said, okay, so what? So you can sell more tomorrow and after that. And then eventually you can kind of franchise out in the different places in the beach. And then after a year or something, you can your own label with peanuts. And so, and he asked, hear all the stories, and he asked, well, tell me why you want to do all this stuff. And so they said, well, then you can take a break like we do. And he said, is that what I am doing now? I mean, you strike me, you know, that's not that. You know, I mean, he's just spending whatever he needed, and rest of the time he's spending his own, you know, enjoyment.
Yeah, very nice example. There's a disconnect oftentimes between where we get our food, where food comes from and where we buy it these days. A lot of people don't know where their food comes from because they're not used to growing it themselves. But there's a complete arrangement in nature to grow things. And even a small amount of land, it's amazing how much food can come off a little piece of land. In Japan, they're avid gardeners. And every little space, they grow something and they know how to find things that you can eat. And oftentimes nowadays, people are disconnected. And like a lot of people who eat meat don't understand that there's a slaughtering process takes place. So if they had to do it themselves, they wouldn't do it. So there's an artificial standard, an idea about where everything's coming from. And everyone works hard just to get the food that they drive to buy and things like that. Like oftentimes it's said that in order to have a job, you have to have clothes, buy the clothes, and then you have to have a car to get to the job. And then why do you have the job? It's to pay for the clothes and the car and all these kinds of things. And on it goes in an artificial society. You need to keep what?
Somebody else interest. You need to make happy for your boss.
That yeah,
your
sure.
You're working for somebody else, not for yourself.
Yes. Because we do not know that there is a complete arrangement in nature for our maintenance, we make efforts to utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment. Because the living entity cannot enjoy the life of the senses without being dovetailed with a complete whole, the misleading life of sense enjoyment is illusion. The hand of a body is a complete unit only as long as it is attached to the complete body. When the hand is severed from the body, it may appear like a hand, but it actually has none of the properties of a hand. Similarly, living beings are part and parcel of the complete whole. And if they are severed from the complete whole, the illusory representations of completeness cannot fully satisfy them. The completeness of human life can be realized only when one engages in the service of the complete whole. All services in this world, whether social, political, communal, international, or even interplanetary, will remain incomplete until they are dovetailed with a complete whole. When everything is dovetailed with a complete whole, the attached parts and parcels also become complete in itself. Any more thoughts about that? Besides you, Sham. What do you remember hearing from what we just read? That what?
The word complete is out of the
complete, yeah. Any impressions, Priya?
That Krishna already has everything planned for us for every single second of our life, and we're here just to serve Krishna, and everything, just accept everything as it is, and whatever comes to you, and
well,
be satisfied.
Well, there's a unique concept, because some people feel like there's a work ethic, which means that, you know, you can get ahead on the material side, so if you work hard and you arrange your life in such a way that then you can have a much better life. Is that not true?
I don't really go for material desires. So I just, what I do from my point of life is I work because we have to work. We're humans, and we have duties to follow, and I do it, and without attachment to it, and I just offer my results to Krishna. That's all.
But I was asking also, if you work harder, do you get ahead on the material side, or is it all fixed up?
In my experience, you work hard, and you are getting more hard in troubles. You know. More troubles. That's what you're creating, you know. Work hard, like you said, you need to maintain the other elements, you know. You have to have a car and that and this and, you know, more than anything else to maintain this, you need to make money. So you make more money, and so you are getting into that big trap. But there is a point in my life that to realizing to making that money is not the life, and stop chasing the money, and then automatically, you know, things came in my way. I don't know how that happened. Maybe I'm lucky, but I'm comfortable in that sense, you know. But I was so worried and stressed out for the money part. And once I understand things, I don't do that. And it make me more comfortable and more confidence, even for the money-wise, material-wise, after I stopped chasing these material things.
It came on its own.
Yes. And that, again, that is Krishna's way of doing things, you know, I guess.
I see.
Yeah.
Gauranga, you want to expound on this?
Well, there are lots of nice verses in the Bhagavatam. One of them being Tase Vihetu Praetete Kovido. Talabhyate Dukam.
Talabhyate Yad Dukam. Tasyaiva Hetu Praetete Kovido Talabhyate Dukavadanyata Sukam.
Which is in the second canto?
Fifth canto.
Fifth canto.
I mean, in first canto, fifth chapter. Tasyaiva Hetu Praetete Kovido Talabhyate Dukavadanyata Sukam. Page 172, 1518. Talabhyate dukha varanyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ramasa.
There's another famous one by Prahlad Maharaj, which is...
But tell that one,
nice one.
Go into that one a little bit. 1518.
This one? Well... Essentially, it's making the point that no one endeavors for suffering. Well, I guess that's the Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah, this one says that one also. That we obtain, it's making the point that everything comes of its own accord, and it proves that by saying, okay, well, how do you prove that happiness doesn't come of its own accord? Because everyone seems to be endeavoring for it. Suffering also comes, and no one's endeavoring for that.
Hmm. So the verse says that you should try for something which is not obtainable on the material side, because on the material side, you're going to get the happiness and distress that's coming to you due to the momentum of your previous karma anyway. It's already fixed up. And as Gauranga Prabhu was saying, proof of that is that just as we search for happiness, well, we don't search for distress, and it comes anyway. So similarly, this is saying happiness will also come of its own accord, even if you don't try for it on the material side. I'll read the purport to this verse. Here's the translation. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. Purport, every man everywhere is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some men are busy engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc., and some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining higher planets. It is said that on the moon, the inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking somaras, and the Pitriloka is obtained by good charitable work. So there are various programs for sense enjoyment, either during this life or in the next life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they are very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades of living beings according to the work they have performed. By good work only, as prescribed in the scriptures, one can obtain birth in a good family, opulence, good education, and good bodily features. We see also that even in this life, one attains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth, we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise, it would not so happen that two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to previous work. But all such material positions are impermanent. The positions in the topmost Brahmaloka and in the lowest Patala are changeable according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, where he will not be forced to come back again to this miserable material world, either in this planet or that. Miseries and mixed happiness are the two features of material life, and they are obtained in Brahmaloka and all, in other lokas also. Miseries and mixed happiness. They are obtained in the life of the demigods and also in the life of the dogs and hogs. The miseries and mixed happiness of all living beings are only of different degree and quality, and no one is free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Similarly, everyone has his destined happiness also. No one can get more or less of these things simply by personal endeavors. Can't get more, you can't get less. Even if they are obtained, they can be lost again. One should not, therefore, waste time with these flimsy things. One should endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. Prahlad Maharaj noted that his father had the best chance of it of anyone. In fact, he already had it pretty much wrapped up on the material side. But he said, just by the movement of Lord Nrisimhadeva's eyebrows, and in a second, everything was gone. It was finished. So he said, I don't want any of these things. What's that? Remembering the verse? So what does that mean then? If you can't get more and you can't get less, then what should be the mode of work?
Does it mean we can quit working and just practice Krishna consciousness?
Does it mean that you can quit work and just practice Krishna consciousness? Well, what do you think? What do you think will happen if you do that?
I think that is doable.
It's doable? All right. Well, everyone, even if you're living off the land, or even if you're you renounce everything, like your family and your car and your house and everything, that means that you have to work a little bit to have some shelter and your transportation and things like that to make your overhead. But even if you don't have that, sannyasi works a little bit too. He has a begging bowl. He goes door to door, and okay, he may live under a tree or somewhere else, or in an ashram or something like that. But still, there's something. There's some kind of maintenance going on. You just have a bigger bowl to fill, that's all. Shastra says that if you are in a situation where you're completely surrendered, then you're no longer a debtor. Everyone owes a debt just along with their birth, but if they are completely surrendered and working for Krishna, then they have no more debt. But still, there's some work that goes on. It's not recommended that one immediately quit working or quit what one's doing, but Krishna recommends that whatever one's doing should be connected to him. Sve sve karma na birata, that there's a certain kind of work that everyone has, and if you connect it to him, then gradually everything can become used in his service. As Priya was saying also, when we're working, then the fruit is given up, and Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita that when you give up the fruit of your work, then you're known to be renounced. In all circumstances, we can connect everything to Krishna, and that's what Prabhupada was saying in this verse also, that that's the secret to life. So Maharaj Ambarish is given as an example, even though he was a king and had kingly opulence, because he used it all in Krishna's service, he was also considered to be a great renunciate. Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karotiya nasas. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that a sannyasi is not one who lights no fire and performs no work. Rather, it's somebody who performs that work, but he does it for Krishna, and he's not attached to the fruit of the results, or the results. So that time will come, however, when through natural course of life, where one is not obligated to do as much work, or one can give up one's work altogether. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't emphasize it so much. An example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kurma Brahma, who was a very wealthy householder, and he also was a dutiful Brahmin, and he had a big following of people who he was taking care of in his village, and he was maintaining a temple there. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and spent some time with him, he became very attached to Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to go with him. Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi traveling all over South India, so he said, I'll come with you, and I'll just leave everything behind. And Mahaprabhu said, don't speak like that. He said, stay here in your position and perform your duties in Krishna consciousness and become a guru in your realm and make everybody else Krishna conscious in your village. And Kaviraj Goswami says, this is the same instruction he gave everywhere, wherever he went in India. In South India, when he was traveling, he advised people to stay in their positions. Stane stita shudikatan tanuvan manobhya. Stay in your position and hear and engage everything in Krishna's service. Then gradually, everything becomes transformed. Everything could be used in Krishna's service. Of course, we also have to see if there are things that are unfavorable, then we can gradually get rid of those things from our life so that we can be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. And again, the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam says that although one's a debtor, if one's completely surrendered to Krishna, then he no longer has to pay those debts because he's already working for the supreme whole. So it's like watering the root. Everyone else will become satisfied. You found the verse? Okay. Hare Krishna. Drishtva maya divi bibo kila dishnapanam ayushriyo bibhave ichati yanjano yam yesmat pitu kupita hasa vrijim brita bru vispurjitena lulita satute nirasta. Prahlad Maharaj speaking says, my dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movement of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. Next one. Tasmada mustanubratam mahamashishogya ayushriyam vibham aindriyam avarinshyat nichchami te vilulitan uruvikramina kalatmano panayaman nijabritya parishvam. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Gauranga Kishore Prabhu.
Is there some sense in which the teachings of the Bhagavatam are esoteric and that they shouldn't, certain things we shouldn't say to people, otherwise it may cause some confusion about their relationship to their prescribed duties and how to best purify themselves?
Yes. There's a way in which Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that the wise shouldn't disrupt the minds of the ignorant by just telling them to renounce everything, but he should engage them in work in the spirit of devotion so that it can become gradually elevated. And there are prescribed duties for people within different positions in life. All the Puranas and other sections of the Vedas have gradations in different modes of nature. In the Puranas, there are Puranas in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. And they prescribe different kinds of activities for people in those modes so that they can become gradually elevated from the position they're in. So it's a big project to engage everyone according to their station in life so that they can become gradually elevated. At the same time, those in the spirit of Narada Muni, for instance, Narada Muni is noted for cutting right to the renunciation part when the Daksha had all his sons. Daksha's sons went off for a little bit of study, and they met Narada Muni. And Narada Muni spent time with them and then convinced them that they should just renounce everything. It's what good's material life anyway. You're just going to end up dying and losing it all. So you should renounce. And he convinced them all to do that. Of course, Prajapati Daksha had an idea that they would grow up and help propagate the universe and help him manage and such. But they gave everything up. And Daksha was quite upset with Narada Muni and said, "How, you know, you're speaking incorrectly, because unless a person goes through the full course of life and experiences all the aspects of sense gratification and the tribulations that go with them, then they won't be able to completely renounce." And Narada Muni didn't agree with this because, you know, he pointed out that people experience material life and they still go on trying to enjoy. He said sometimes a woman will have a child. At the time of having a child, there's so much pain in giving birth, she'll say, "I'll never do this again." And then, you know, a year or two later, she has another child, and then another says the same thing every time. You know, that's an example, but everyone can relate it to other things that have happened, that material life and the desires that come are inexorable. So if one has the opportunity to renounce everything and does it, this is the companion verse to the one you brought out in the fifth chapter, Tasyaiva Hetu Prayateta Kovido. That verse earlier says that one shouldn't endeavor for things that come automatically anyway. It's crazy, because you're going to get a certain amount of happiness and you're going to get a certain amount of distress no matter what you do. So don't try for it. Try for spiritual advancement. And then, Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujan Harer Bhajana Pakvota Patetato Yadi Yatra Kwa Babadrama Buddha Musikim Govarta Apto Bhajatam Swadharmata. Then he says, so if someone gives up his occupational engagements, renounces it. Tyaktva means he just throws it off. Why? To take to the service of Krishna. And then it turns out he was a pakva, which means he wasn't ripe. He did it out of some sentiment or it looked good at the time, and then things change. And then decides, oh, I'm going to go back. I give up devotional service. So Narada Muni says, because he took to the Bhagavad Dharma, even for a short amount of time, and gave that endeavor, there's no loss. That's permanently kept, that advancement. Whereas if someone had perfected their material occupation and hadn't taken the opportunity to advance in devotional service at all, what does that person gain? They didn't really get anything. So there's two ways to look at it, actually. But in general, everyone needs to have some kind of a gradual process for purification in devotional service. This is what Prabhupada says. We spoke about this last week, about can someone surrender right away? And or is it a gradual process, surrender? So which is it? So Prabhupada says that you can surrender right away and in an instant, but it's rare. So the general course is that there's a gradual process that one goes through throughout one's lifetime connected to devotional service, and at different stages of life becomes more and more committed to devotional service. Well, one may be fully committed, but one may not be able to fully express that at different positions of life. So in any case, it's not stereotype, because everyone's an individual and everyone has individual circumstances. So the application of Krishna consciousness means that we have to be Krishna conscious. We have to be conscious, and we have to see the best way to help each individual person. And that's usually a custom-made plan. It's every person has their own kinds of situations and issues. That's why it's important to have guidance. Because if you have some personal guidance, then it helps. Because everyone has certain situations in their life that they have to go through and arrange so that they can become Krishna conscious. If you take good guidance, then that will help in all the different situations. You'll know how to apply Krishna consciousness in the best possible way in the situation that you're in now. So generalities are sometimes there, but the very specific application of those should come in our lives by taking good guidance from Shastra, from Guru, from the sadhus, and one way or another, stay alive in Krishna consciousness, one way or another. Whatever you have to do, do it to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Because it's so powerful, the process of the Bhagavat Marg, the connection, being connected to Srimad Bhagavatam and to Harinam, it's so powerful that it will have a profound effect on our life. You can hear it in the story of Ajamil. Just the beginnings that he had in devotional service carried through until his last breath when he was leaving his body. And it came to bear in the last part of his life that he had taken to devotional service in the beginning of his life. So this is the recommendation of Sridhar Swami from the verse Tatenu Kampam Sisamikshamanu, where he says in his commentary to that verse that one way or another one should stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Dainiti Prabhu.
Was Ajamil, when he chanted Narayan, was he chanting offensively, or was he chanting pseudonym, Namabhas? Was it not? It was Namabhas, right?
Yeah, it was non-offensive chanting.
Non-offensive.
Because he wasn't chanting at the time to clear his sins. If he had been thinking that I've been sinful all my life and this will fix everything at the last minute, that would be offensive. But he wasn't thinking like that. He was innocently calling out for his son, and he... there are different commentaries on that. And one way or another, he remembered Narayan when he said that also. And the name of Narayan's not different from Narayan. But the mood he said it in was not as clear as sin, so it had extraordinary power because of that.
So what if one in their lifetime sometimes is chanting offensively, sometimes is chanting not so offensively, but at the time of death, once again, maybe he's chanting offensively. So if at some time in his lifetime he chanted non-offensively, which one counts at the time of death?
Well, you know, Krishna's a person. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit. He says to Krishna emphatically in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, one who does good is never overcome by evil. The meaning of that verse is that sincerity is always effective. And, you know, whether it comes in the beginning of your life or the middle or the end, or, you know, there's a mixture. Krishna knows what you've done. That's the import of this last verse that we chant in the Sri Ishapanishad. Agne naya supataray asman vishvani deva vayunani vidvan yuyod yasmas juharanameno buyishtam te nama uktim videma. O my Lord, powerful as fire, omnipotent one, please lead man the right path to reach you. And since you know all I've done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so there'll be no hindrance to my progress. I can't even remember what I was doing last week, what to speak of last lifetime or a thousand lifetimes ago. But Krishna knows. And he also knows the devotional service. I can't remember the service that I've done either. But Krishna knows all those things. So nahi kalyana kaschit. One who does good is never overcome by evil. So you can count on the fact that if you go on chanting, that eventually you'll come to the pure stage of chanting. And this is the recommendation, that just keep chanting. Nama aparada yuktanam naman yeta naman yeva harantyagam avishani prayuktani naman yeva harantyagam means from the Padma Purana that one may be in nama aparadha and chanting in an offensive stage, but if you continuously chant, you go on chanting, then you'll, even if by accident you'll just chant a few times in namabhas, then you'll, the effect is so powerful that will give you spiritual capital to be able to move forward in devotional service, give you that strength, and it's so valuable. So our life may be a mixture of aparads and chanting in namabhas, whatever, but it all, Krishna knows. He sorts it all out.
I just reminded of one story of one disciple of Srila Prabhupada who left the movement into a not very exalted lifestyle, but Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter and saying, because you once chanted sincerely in Vrindavan, Krishna will save you at the end. And right before he passed away, he did. He got cancer, and shortly before that, he changed his life and became fully Krishna conscious.
I've seen it before with other devotees as well. Yeah. And the best situation is to chant sincerely all the time and dedicate one's life, you know, fully. Because it's such a rare opportunity to have the human form of life and to be informed of what the purpose of it is, and to be able to take advantage of that fully is such a, to know that that's the right thing to do. Even if I can't do it, I should maintain that desire and pray that I can do it. Krishna will make the arrangement. Om Purnam Adat Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vishishyate. This is the verse we started with and looked at. It's the invocation, which says the personality of God is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, even though so many units emanate from him, complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So we can see that everywhere, actually. If we just observe how perfect the world is, how in nature there's a complete arrangement for every living entity to be fed, and there's a cycle where you can grow things. The sun and the moon, all the cycles are running like clockwork in the universe. And all that is coming from the all-intelligent personality of Godhead. So remembering Krishna, remembering that he's a person, and offering to him whatever I have, this is bhakti. And there's a reciprocation there from Krishna, the personality of Godhead within the heart. Hare Krishna. Acharya?
I wanted to be sure that I'm right. That so many times I hear these questions, people asking whether or not should I renounce, whether or not should I work hard. And you've been answering all this, and I think I see the root of this problem. So the problem is people think mostly about themselves. They think, me, what about myself? What I'm supposed to do? And the secret, like hiding, actually point of view on this, that whether or not Krishna is a good servant, whether or not he gonna serve me if I'm not doing anything. And that's why all this misunderstanding appears, because people just cannot change this idea that, no, we are the servants. So we are supposed to do whatever Krishna wants us to do. If he wants us to work, we can work, right? Hard, even harder. He wants us from us that we'll make a lot of money. I will be really money made that if I know that Krishna wants me to make a lot of money to give to him to build a temple or something. I mean, it's kind of clear, very clear. You just have to change this conception. Not me and Krishna, but Krishna and what I can do for him. I guess that's kind of...
Yeah, that's a good point. But then, again, there may be a question of how do I know whether Krishna wants me to make a lot of money for him or whether he wants me to live a simple life in a little room somewhere and just, you know, do menial service all day. That's why I was saying one should have good guidance. If one has good guidance in how to do those, how to take those, apply what's in one's life, means that, you know, a guide may give you one person, one instruction, go make money, and another to give it up and not to go work hard. So it's custom for each person. But the principle that you're bringing up is very nice, and that is that if I bring the focus to how can I be a servant, and that's my mode, the serving mode, then everything becomes an opportunity, and I'll take that opportunity to serve Krishna. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. Yat koroshi rashnashi ajjohasi dadasi yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, do it as a sacrifice for me. And then, of course, there are different levels of that kind of mood of giving to Krishna, because sometimes I may be attached to the work I'm doing. And I think, well, I'll keep doing the work because I like to do it. And then I'll offer the result to Krishna. But then there's another kind of level where I'm not even attached to the work. Whatever Krishna or the spiritual master tells me to do, I'll just do that and offer that. Like someone might come, so I've seen people come to the Krishna consciousness movement and they have a conception that I want to be a rock and roll star, but I'll do it for Krishna. And, you know, it's obvious they're not going to become a rock and roll star, but they keep trying and maintain it throughout their whole life in Krishna consciousness, that this is what I'm going to do for Krishna. This is what I'm going to do. They're still connected, and they're offering it to Krishna, but they're thinking, I'm a rock and roll star, and I'll offer it to Krishna. But there's a higher position where one, takes up whatever is the desire of Krishna and the spiritual master to best to do the best kind of service. And it doesn't matter if I'm a rock star or not. Yeah.
We came to the first darshan with our Guru Maharaj. We came with guitar and stuff and said, we would like to have a band to play for Krishna and do some concerts. And Guru Maharaj said, yes, this is very good idea. You can play, you can organize concerts, you can so many would hear that. But the best way, what you can do, it will be even better if you will distribute some books.
And that's what you did, right? Yeah, nice. Nice point.